Isaiah chapter 35. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become cool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. From there Jesus arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Some 700 years before the incarnation of the Son of God, Isaiah prophesied concerning the merciful and gracious God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, who keeps steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. He prophesied that this God, our God, would intervene on earth, would come with vengeance toward his enemies, repaying them in full for their wickedness. But at the same time, by his coming, saving his people. And what a saving it would be. Not simply some restoration of a kingdom that had fallen prey to the Babylonian Empire. No, but a reversal of the curse that brought sickness and suffering and death into the world. For Isaiah writes not of some sort of divine nation building, but of the blind being given sight, the deaf hearing, the lame leaping like the wild deer, and the person who is mute bursting forth in a song of joy. And that's not all. Even the ground which the Lord had cursed because of Adam's sin would begin to experience relief. In the arid wilderness, waters would break forth. Streams would flow in the desert. No longer would desperate people see mirages there in the desert. Now, where once there had been only burning sand, there would be a genuine oasis. Thirsty ground, the prophet writes, would become springs of water. In other words, the Lord would fulfill his promises to Adam and Eve, and Noah and Abraham, and all of their descendants. After centuries of waiting in hope, the crushing of the serpent's head would be accomplished. The curse would begin to be rolled back, and God's blessings would flow far as the curse is found. Today's gospel includes two instances of Jesus, the Lord in human flesh, fulfilling this prophecy of Isaiah as he responds with overwhelming mercy and grace to two individuals in need. As you heard the account of the Syrophoenician woman of great faith, it may have seemed a bit different than you remember it. Matthew records a few details that we didn't hear this morning. The account of the deaf man with impaired speech, whom Jesus healed with a single word. And Mark records the very Aramaic word Jesus uttered, Ephphatha, is recorded only here. As they appear side by side in today's gospel reading, they are quite striking. In the case of the Syrophoenician woman, we're told that she came to Jesus and fell down at his feet. This happened outside of Greater Israel, north of Galilee, near the coast. The population of this area was primarily Gentile, not Jewish. We're told that Jesus didn't want to be it known that he was there, but that was not to be. This woman's daughter was possessed by a demon, and she believed Jesus could and would help her. It was different with the deaf man. We don't know his ethnicity. The region of the Decapolis, which is Greek for the Ten Cities, was east of the Sea of Galilee, and thus also outside of Israel proper. Unlike the Syrophoenician woman, he certainly hadn't heard of Jesus. It's likely, though, that he was an outsider like her. Recall that blind man in Jerusalem, about whom Jesus' disciples had asked, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Because of this man's deafness and struggle in speaking, not only would he have had great difficulty in participating in this society, to an extent, he probably wasn't terribly welcome either. We're told that this man was brought to Jesus, by whom we are told. There's no indication that this man had any expectation, any hope for help from Jesus. Perhaps those who brought him were friends. Perhaps they were people who had heard Jesus could do miracles and were curious to see if it was true. What they asked was that Jesus touch the man. The woman didn't ask for a touch. Indeed, in the end, we hear that her daughter hadn't been with her. Her plea was that Jesus would cast the demon out. Jesus' response seems very out of character. "This is the one who would not break a bruised reed, who would not quench a faintly burning wick? How cruel it seems to tell this desperate woman, 'Let the children be fed first,' for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." In Matthew's account before this, Jesus had said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." which makes this seemingly insulting refusal to help even clearer and more definitive. How different this is from Jesus' approach to the deaf man. Jesus takes him aside from the crowd privately. He uses a rough sign language, his fingers in the man's ears, a touch of his tongue to indicate what's going on. Well, the man must have thought, Jesus understands my problem. I can't hear, and when I try to talk, my tongue barely works. Then Jesus looked up to heaven, from whence cometh our help, sighs deeply, and utters a single word, Ephphatha, which means be opened. Never, ever had this man heard such a wonderful thing. Jesus says, Ephphatha, be opened. And the man's ears are opened. He can hear. His tongue begins to cooperate, and he can speak plainly. Jesus says, Ephphatha, be opened. And the man is certain what that sign language had meant, knows that God has had mercy on him. Jesus says, Ephphatha, be opened. And it is so. And it is very good. Strangely, the Syrophoenician woman responds to what Jesus told her with trust and with faith. Martin Luther explains it in this way, that her response to Jesus' words about children and dogs is essentially, I got you now. You have to grant my request. I have your word on it. When Jesus insinuates that she is a dog, she joyfully accepts that identification. We might paraphrase a psalm to express her thinking. I would rather be a dog under the table of the Lord than have a place of honor at the table of the wicked. Just one crumb from the Lord's table is everything she wants, everything she needs. When she claims a right to the children's crumbs, Jesus says to her, for this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she goes home and finds the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Two people were in need. One came to Jesus pleading for help and trusting he would provide it. The other was brought, not knowing where he was going, or what to expect. One was treated with great consideration and kindness, the other seemingly with rudeness and rejection. Yet both of these individuals received grace and blessing from the Lord. Above all, faith and the certainty that he is indeed gracious and merciful. Not looking at their sins nor denying their prayers because of them, but maintaining love and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. Our Lord knows what we need better than we do and knows how best to provide it so that it will strengthen and sustain our trust in his goodness and assurance of his love and mercy. We've all experienced impersonal responses in interactions in commercial ventures or with government entities. We know when the response we're getting is exactly the same as those 10 people who came before us and the 20 people after us. But that's not how Jesus responds. Your Savior knows you by name. He knows the number of hairs on your head at this very moment. He knows your weaknesses, your fears, your troubles. He doesn't deal with you according to some formula or routine or flowchart. God loves the world, all whom he has made, all who fall short of his glory. But he also loves you individually, knows how to admonish you and comfort you and provide for your needs of body and of soul. Whether you're brash like Peter, a son of thunder like James and John, whether you have the faith of the Syrophoenician woman, or are in need of private interaction, away from the crowd like the deaf man, he knows what you need and how to lead and guide and feed you for your eternal good. That crowd who saw what Jesus did for the man whose hearing and speech Jesus opened were, Mark writes, hyper-astonished. Echoing the repeated refrain from Genesis 1, they declared, "He has done all things well, that is very good." And mirroring the prophecy of Isaiah, they confessed, "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." They didn't know how true their words were, for he had not yet accomplished his greatest work, bearing the sins of the world, theirs and yours and mine, to the cross, accepting God's wrath in the place of sinners, so that by him we might never know the wrath, but instead only and forever grace and every blessing. It is true. Jesus, your Lord and Savior, has done all things well for you. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.